It's time for our Budweiser From the Sidelines segment, as always, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We welcome in Fox 8's own John Telich. John, how are we doing today?
Doing good. Bye week. Weird. Very weird in the middle of the season, but it's good timing for this team, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that statement right there. And kind of a disappointing entryway into the bye week coming off of the loss to the Raiders. We'll get into that in just a second here. But I wanted to start with some of the frustration I was seeing on social media as the trade deadline came and went. No moves for Andrew Berry in the Browns. Yep. So patience certainly seems to be the approach there in Berea. Though this team will hit the offseason with at least $38 million in cap space. You got a bunch of draft picks to work with. John, what's your thoughts on the approach here from this team?
Well, I think they have a lot of needs, and there's guys that have to get signed to deals. They got to make a decision on, you know, are they in 100% on Baker? You know, so that's going to continue the evaluation the rest of this year. You've got Denzel Ward. There's people like Larry Oak and Joby. These are some of the building blocks, pieces, parts of this team's development that they have to think about. And then they've got to think about in the offseason adding those defensive pieces to the puzzle, and that's the most disappointing part of this team. And I think everybody would universally agree that it is that the defense hasn't been playing that well, and but it's a work in progress. So they fixed and fortified the offensive side of the ball, got all the weapons for Baker in Jarvis and Odell and Hooper, and the right tackle in Conklin. And, of course, they got Kareem Hunt last year, and now he's here with Nick Chubb. They've got talent on the team on the offensive side of the ball and some good players on the defense, but that's a work in progress. So I think the word patience comes in mind here. I don't think they were going to overreach for someone that could be immediate help, per se, because I think they're really, because these two guys – and let's make it three guys when you throw Di Podesta in there. They're all joined at the hip, and they're universal. They're together on how they're approaching the development of this team and the building blocks for this team. So to just make a move for move's sake, or put a Band-Aid on one small specific area of the team, maybe their thought was that, got to have some patience and continue to build this. I think I would have to say they're happy with 5-3. I really would, even though people are knocking the schedule. It's not that great. But, you know, they've already played the Steelers and the Ravens a couple of times. And so I think all in all, if they keep preaching this patience, that's a good thing, because, as everybody knows, the Haslam organization, the Haslam regime, patience has certainly – been missing from their vocabulary over the years. So I think to even have that in the conversation speaks that things are going in the right direction.
John, I'm glad you mentioned the defense there, because my next question kind of steers in that direction. They haven't been great. Oakland certainly dominated time of possession ball control, or not Oakland, excuse me, Las Vegas. Wow. First time I made that mistake all year. And so, looking at that defense, it feels like they've been almost over-reliant on turnovers. You know what I mean? It's been, if they win the turnover battle, great. If not, they're in for a long Sunday afternoon. So, what's been the deal with that?
Yeah, in fact, you can just point to a couple of stats. In their five wins, they're +7 in the takeaway department, and in their three losses, they're -5. And they're not good enough to survive having a negative effect on the takeaway situation in a game. They're just not good enough. The defense isn't that good as we speak right now, despite the fact that they have the likes of Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and premium, all pro caliber talents and good players like Ogunjobi and Sheldon Richardson. There's a lot of pieces, parts on the defense that need to be shored up. But to be on the bad side of the giveaway, the takeaway and giveaway department, that's not a good thing for this defense. But that's what they're working towards, to be more proficient defensively, that when they have those Sundays where they're too generous with the football, giving it away, they can still overcome that. And they can maybe do it against some of the lesser teams, get away with it here or there, but they definitely cannot do it against, like, the Steelers, or the Ravens, or, you know, some of the better teams that they will face on their schedule. So that's kind of the upshoot of that situation.
You mentioned at the top of things here, and again, John Telich, our guest here on our Budweiser From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. John, you mentioned at the top of our interview here that, you know, this bye week comes at a good timing despite being maybe in a bit of a weird place for the Browns. And I definitely agree with the good timing aspect of that because you look at the injury for Myles Garrett. Great news there, though, the MRI showing no significant structural damage, so it looks like he'll be okay. But this team's still a little beat up. Obviously, the Nick Chubb injury still playing a big factor. So, you know, again, good timing for this bye week because these guys need to get healthy.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned, you know, the phrase dodge the bullet, and I think even the coach alluded to it yesterday, or that was Monday, doing a conference call on the Zoom with reporters, dodging a bullet in the Miles deal. I think everybody had that dread in the back of their mind when you hear Myles Garrett getting MRI on knee. You know, that doesn't make for a very good feeling if you're a Browns fan or you follow the team. But it turns out there's no structural damage. But he's got a lot of things going on. He's got a tweaked knee. He has the ankle that he's dealing with. And then, of course, also something with his wrist that's been bothering him to a degree. So this is good time for him. You know, Jarvis is still got the rib situation. That can't be fun to be playing through that. Baker's, they say, has that cracked rib, but that seems to be okay now. Something going on with Kareem Hunt, nothing official, but it just seems like he was fighting something. So this is perfect timing. You might get, you know, some of those guys back. I think Chubb and Teller, we're going to have to wait and see on that. But I think Austin Hooper, in fact, the coach even said so a couple of days ago, that he thinks he'll be able to be back starting in that first game back against the Texans. And he's an unheralded guy in the run game, I think. Those tight ends are very crucial, very critical, how they block, how they help with that zone scheme that they, you know, the scheme that they run. And Austin Hooper's been really good in that respect. So it will be good to have him back in the fold. It could not have come at a better time. Right in the middle of the season, I think some guys are going to get healthy for that.
You mentioned the tight ends and their ability to help with the run blocking, and I kind of wanted to go to the offense here next, and it seems like they may become more reliant on the run here in coming weeks because the drops, John, the drops against Las Vegas. I mean, Baker Mayfield did not play a bad game, I didn't think, on Sunday. I thought he was good. I thought he was making some pretty good throws, putting a couple of balls right on the money, and he just did not get any kind of help from his receivers. That'll obviously need to change moving forward, but do they have the talent without Odell Beckham Jr. to be a consistently threatening aerial team?
Well, Odell certainly was a great help to them because we all know that he's got the ability to take the top off the defense with his speed, and so that's enough to scare some teams in how they deploy their safeties. Now, if you watch the game on Sunday, their safety, their youngster, Jonathan Abrams, that guy was near the line of scrimmage quite a bit, and he was pretty involved in stifling as much as possible the Browns running game. And so if Odell, I'm thinking, were better conditions, you know, to throw the football, if Odell were on that field, that would have affected how much they had that young safety playing close to the line of scrimmage. So that's a big, big factor. But when you have 20% of Baker's passes dropped, and some, as you mentioned, Rocco, those guys were wide open. I mean, Njoku was wide open. Mm-hmm. I remember Kareem had one out in the flat, wide open, nobody near there. And then uncharacteristically, and that's why I know that Landry's just battling through, just being beat up and all that, that he had a flat-out drop. And then, you know, he did juggle slightly the ball into the end zone, and they said touchdown first, then reviewed it and took it away. So, you know, I thought Baker played pretty well. I really did. I think if you're coming away from that game and just concentrating on, oh, the kid hurt the Browns, absolutely you're wrong. They got manhandled, and everybody knew exactly what the visitors were going to do in that game, and the visitors came in here and physically beat up the Browns defense, and the Browns just had no answer for it. It wasn't, you know, sleight of hand. They just, the offense for the Raiders just dink and dunk down the field, and their running backs, and they ran a lot of different guys. They just ran the ball down the Browns' throats. So, you know, that's a part of where they've got to get better, and obviously in their run defense and in a lot of aspects of their defense. But that's why I think they're preaching in Berea, patience. You know, don't give up the future to get this rail car off the tracks. Keep it going in a good direction, and then you'll have sustained, relevant football for years, as opposed to trying to get everything in one fell swoop and then being unsuccessful, and next thing you know, you're one of the worst teams in the league and you're drafting second or third. You just don't want to see that.
Patience can be a hard sell to a good chunk of Browns fans out there, but it's something they'll have to buy into.
I agree with you, Rocco. It's absolutely there's one of my buddies here at Fox 8 always has that joke about free beer tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes, you know. and so that's, you know, Browns fans have heard, we got to give us a little patience here as we're building something. And then coach gets fired, GM gets fired, they change the regime, in come new players, different philosophies. And you never get that free beer. That they never come. So the Browns want you to have free beer. That's what they're working towards. Free beer tomorrow. It's coming.
There you go. It's on the way. No worries. No worries. John, we can move through these last two here fairly quickly here. The first one here I had for you, though, how do you assess Jedrick Wills to this point in the season? Obviously, high hopes coming in, but where do you evaluate him so far?
Well, I think that you split his the way he's deployed, you split it in two. I think as a pass blocker, and he's had a few, penalties, we've seen that. But I think as a pass blocker, there's a lot to be said for how this kid's technique and his ability is on point for him to be one of the better tackles as a pass protector. And the run blocking, that's still a work in progress. And he's still learning, how to handle himself as he pulls or some of the counters and the different maneuvers that they have as offensive tackles in the run game. But I think he's going to be a very good one. Is just, let him develop. And so far, over eight games, he's done a pretty nice job.
I would agree. Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. Good, not great in certainly a number of different areas, but not disappointed at all with what he's shown so far this season. John, we can close on this. Who are your offensive and defensive MVPs from the first half of this season?
Well, definitely the defensive MVP, and I would say that the MVP for the team is Myles Garrett. He's literally changed the way this team has functioned on some Sundays and has affected their success or versus failure rate dramatically. So Myles is playing as one of the top defensive players in the league for sure. Now, the guy I'm picking as the offensive MVP hasn't played in the last three, 4 weeks, and that's Nick Chubb. But I just think because you don't have him on the field, by virtue of him being missing, you come to realize what you're missing. Mm-hmm. And his ability to run the football, his ability to see the defense, to anticipate, to make moves. Now, Kareem Hunt's done a real nice job. He's, he catches the ball out of the backfield. He runs hard. He's got more runs of 20-plus yards than I think anybody in the league this year. So it's not like, the talent rate has dropped dramatically, but I just think there's something special about Nick Chubb, and he set the tone early in the year with how he was running the football, and Wyatt Teller's another guy that had a real good year up until he got hurt, and we're starting to see, since he's been absent, his value to the team. But I would go with Chubb on the offensive side of the ball, and then, MVP third overall on the team. Denzel's had a pretty nice year. He's had a lot of pass breakups, and I think in more ways than none, you're seeing that I think he's regaining some of that rookie form, and he's been able to stay on the field, avoid injuries to keep him off. And so I think he's having a pretty good season. But he and Myles are just the only two things that you can point towards right now on the defense, and as they are a work in progress.
Certainly a couple of positives to take away from that first half of the season. Quite a few positives, I would say, but also a number of things that this team will have to work on. Getting healthy, of course, a big proponent of that as well, component of that, I should say. So, John, thank you as always for taking a couple of minutes here to join me. A great first half assessment for the season. 5-3 at the bye, like you said. I think we'll take that. Would have hoped for 6-2, but that's okay, and we'll see what this team can do in the second half. John, thanks again for the time. We'll catch up again next week, man.
Okay. All right. And to all your listeners, have a great week. I'll talk to you then.